Genesis chapter 18. Chapter 18, we're pressing on through Genesis, slowly but surely. And we certainly don't want to get in a hurry. Amen. God is teaching us. I don't know about you. He's teaching me. Is he teaching you? Things we've read, sometimes they are obscure and overlooked. And when the Holy Spirit turns the light bulb on, they become open and obvious. And that's what the psalmist said. Open thou mine eyes. I pray that when I'm reading the Bible in the morning. God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is a wonderful Bible, and that we may behold them. They're there. They're there. But sometimes we can miss wonderful things that are right before us if we're not asking God to open our eyes. So tonight, as we preach through these verses in Genesis 18, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent under Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Let the church say amen. Our Father, I ask thy blessing on the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. I pray, God, that in these moments, that as we read stories in the Bible, may we not just be entertained by their details or amused by what we see or hear, but may we be challenged, motivated, stirred afresh to do more for you in these last days. God, we love you, and we thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says, Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. Isaiah 41:8 says, But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And in James 22:23, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was the friend of God. Jesus said Lazarus was his friend. He said, Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. The Bible tells us that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But there's only one person in the Bible that received the title that I read in the 3 texts just a few moments ago. It's one thing for Jesus to call Lazarus his friend. It's
one thing for him to say, you're my friends, if you do what I've commanded you. It's another thing for him to say, he laid down his life for his friends. But here in these three different texts, we see that Abraham was called the friend of God. Does that hit your heart? The friend of God. He had something special with God. He had a relationship with God. He had a function with God. By the way, we're loose about that word friend, and we often find out that our looseness in our title will reveal itself a little bit later when the title doesn't match the function. You'll find out a lot of your friends will evaporate when trials come. A lot of your friends won't answer when they know you have a burden. A lot of your friends are nowhere to be found in your deepest valley. A lot of your friends that help you spend your money won't help you bear your burden. I would say to you, your friends didn't disappear when the going got tough. The people disappeared because they weren't your friends. I used to have a quote up in my office that said, I don't need a certain number of friends, just a number of friends I can be certain of. And sometimes in life you find yourself trying to gather so many friends and get this thick crowd and this big number of people because you figure the more people that you have around you, the safer you're going to be. And you fail to realize that just because somebody pulls up to a hospital and parks in a spot with a doctor sign on it doesn't make him a physician. And just because somebody says, hey, we're friends. I often find that in the ministry sometimes. Everybody seems to be, this is my good friend, Pastor Baldwin, my good friend. We're just good friends. And I'm kind of chuckling to myself. We don't talk. I haven't seen you since Mr. Clean had a bush. And, we don't share burdens. And I'm not belittling someone. I'm just saying it's a word that over the years I've learned not to use loosely. It's not something that you just call somebody because you happen to be sitting in a cubicle beside them, or you happen to play on a ball team with them, or you happen to turn the tassel on the same day they turn the tassel, or you're in the same section in the choir, or you share the same birthday. There's something special about that endearing term, about that term of relationship called friend. In Genesis chapter 18, we're going to see that very clearly. We're going to see why God said what he said in Chronicles. Why God said what he said in Isaiah. And why God said what he said in James. Three times about one man, what he didn't say about any other man. Abraham is my friend. I want to speak on Genesis chapter 18 for the next couple of weeks. And I want to speak on this subject. What's it like to be the friend of God? What is it like? I know what you and your friends do. But what does God and his friends do? And what does God do with you if you're his friend? And what do you do with God if God's your friend? And what is it like? What is it like? Because I'm going to tell you something. There's hardly a title that the world could offer me that would be more fulfilling in my heart and in my soul than to be called the friend of God. Now watch this now. God's got 66 books in the Bible, and he's got great men in the Bible and great women in the Bible. And if he wanted to use it loosely, he could have used it loosely. He only said about Abraham, which says to me, there are a lot of people that are saved. There are a lot of people that got the Holy Ghost inside of them. There are a lot of people that are ministry leaders. There are a lot of people that are Bible carriers. There are a lot of people who've been saved for a long time, but that doesn't mean they're the friend of God. What's it like? What does it mean to be the friend of God? When we close Genesis chapter 17, we are watching Abraham carrying out an order of God at 99 to be circumcised. Pretty extreme, wasn't it? And yet he thought enough of God to obey God late in life. Not just for himself, but for his sons and for every male servant in his house. And in Genesis chapter 18, it at least appears that not very long after God and Abraham are dealing with this issue of circumcision, that in Genesis chapter 18, the Holy Ghost of God is letting us look in on two friends doing what they do. I wonder if the Holy Spirit of God let us look in on you and God, would we conclude, they friends. They're friends. By the way, you can watch two people and see how they function and tell whether or not they're friends. How many of you know there's some things your friends can say to you that other people can't say? Amen. There's some times your friend can call you that you don't mind, but when somebody else who's not your friend call you at the same time, your reaction is, what are they doing calling me now? Amen. There's some favors your friend can ask of you that non-friends, you don't want them asking. Somebody help me preach. I mean, there's some things you've been through with your friends. You haven't been through with everybody else. I've been blessed over the years to have friends that are my friends, been my friends for 20, 25 years, 30 years. And I tell you something, there's a history. There's some memories. There's some reminiscence and some. You've been through some things. You've sat through some things. You've experienced some things. And it brings a bond. Amen. It brings a bond that no little tit for tat should be able to break. Amen. See, when little stuff breaks your friendship must not have been that big. What does it mean to be the friend of God? Write down in your notes tonight. We'll do two of these if the Lord will help us. Number one, there's an individual appearance. Amen. Now watch this now. Abraham is a married man. He's a father. He's a man that's rich by this time, right? There's a lot of people living where Abraham is. But in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible didn't say that the Lord appeared unto them. The Bible said the Lord appeared unto him. So although he came to the location where many people were inhabiting, he came to see his friend. He said, what does it mean to be a friend with God? Friend with God. I'll tell you what it means. God comes to see you. Somebody say amen. God comes to see you. He comes to meet with you individually. He comes to talk with you individually. He comes to correspond with you intimately. Now notice the Bible said, and the Lord appeared. And the Lord appeared. There was a sovereign initiation here. This was not Abraham going to look for God. This was God coming to look for him. And I'm glad when you enter a friendship with Almighty God to talk to you, to share some things with you, to reveal some things to you, to deal with some things with you, God comes to see you. Now I want to ask you a question. When's the last time he came to see you? Preach, pastor. I don't want to ask you last time you come see him, because you were some. And we all are. We're always bugging him for something, especially when we're in need. But I tell you what it means to be a friend of God. He comes looking to see you. There's a sovereign initiation. Write down in your notes, there's a seeming insignificance. I don't know about you. When I think of the creator of the universe coming to see me, I think of fireworks, lights, action, camera. Roll the curtain back. I mean, and by the way, there were times when God showed up in the scripture when that's what happened. I mean, there was a mighty rushing wind. And I mean, you remember when God ordained that tabernacle in the wilderness and that glory of God came down. And when God initiated the temple that they built after he gave the instructions to Solomon, there was glory that came. And remember Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he took Peter and James and John up to that mountain and the glow that was on him, they couldn't even look at it. And it overshadowed him and there was a radiance about him like they'd never seen on him. It was very clear that God had shown up in a major way, but on this this day to his friend. There was no need for big lights and camera and pizzazz. I'm going to see my friend. Amen. See, when my friend come to my house, I don't need no fancy food and a bunch of decorations and everything. That's my friend. Amen. But if I don't know you well, I got to step up my game a little bit. What was he doing? By himself, sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Seems to me he's having a little siesta. He's just taking an afternoon nap in the heat of the day, at the hottest moment in the day. Listen to me. He and God didn't have an appointment, but your friend doesn't need one. Somebody help me preach. See, a friend can just show up. Because that's how you do. And this is Abraham. See, if you're not walking with God like Abraham has since chapter 12, then God doesn't just casually stop by. What does it mean to be a friend with God? A friend of God in friendship with God. Here's what it means. God issues you individual appearances. And by the way, some of the greatest appearances of God have been in seemingly insignificant times. Thank God for church services. Thank God for revivals. And listen to me. I've been in meetings where I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be a big meeting. We've got several speakers. We've been planning it for a while. Listen to me. I actually made myself ready to have a big meeting with God. And I'm not saying God didn't speak. And I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit didn't move. But I didn't sense necessarily that purposeful individual appearance of God. But I've had other times where I just woke up in the middle of the night on not a special day, nothing going on, just couldn't sleep. And it was like God came down that driveway at 6312 and through the garage and through the door and into that bedroom to say, tonight, when it ain't a big deal, I came to see you. Wow. That's friends. Don't we all want to be there? And we're not always. Sometime with God, we have to set up these advanced appointments. Wait a minute now. Don't get quiet on me. You know why you don't want non-friends to come unannounced? Because they may see some things you're embarrassed about. No, he's just out in the heat of the day. Just doing what he'd do every day. And God showed up. Amen. They had dealings with one another. See, Abraham was where he was that day because God had led him. Come on. Abraham had come that far because God had led him. Abraham was a circumcised man at 99 because God had led him. Abraham was trusting with God because God had led him. Abraham had been in a covenant with God because God had led him. Abraham had met Jehovah. Abraham had met Elohim. Abraham had been introduced to El Shaddai. He didn't need an appointment. Individual appearance. Let me give you one more for tonight, and this is where we'll close. Don't get excited. We're not getting out at 8:05. There are much more subpoints on this one. The individual appearance led God's friend Abraham, after being appeared to by his friend God, to make an instinctive accommodation. Now, the individual appearance is God showed up unannounced. The instinctive accommodation is, I may not have known he's coming, but now that he's here, let me get things ready. Whew. See, that's what a friend does. Hey, we just happened to be in town. Pat, oh, I didn't know you were going to come in town. No, we just happened to be Pat. Oh, did you? Come on, let's go get some meat. Let's go get some food. That's what you do with a friend. With a stranger, oh, you're just passing through. Oh, good. Well, good. I hope the weather, I hope you enjoy yourself. I mean, unless I'm just, maybe I'm not picking it up. I mean, but a friend comes in town and doesn't have anywhere to stay, you put them up. Amen.
the sheets aren't, your sheets aren't clean. You wash them. Well, we didn't plan to have that much food. You stop by the grocery store. Your friend's in town. Could I ask you, what do you do when God shows up? What do you do when God shows up? And he doesn't always announce. Listen to, did you hear me say a couple weeks ago we were going to do something else in the song because the wind blew through? I was talking about the Holy Spirit of God moving. Oh, why are we singing that song? God showed up. Don't get mad because the pastor wants to make accommodations and you weren't planning on it. You change your plans when your friend shows up. If your friends, he looks. And he spots three men. Now please understand, according to scripture, these were three angels in the form of human beings. So they were angelic beings that appeared as human beings. And the Bible says, when they were coming, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse number 2, and looked, and lo, amen. What is the message there? Look and lo, amen. Look and lo, three men stood by him. By the way, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to do it, you will see God when he shows up. That's why it's not just important that you come to church. It's important that you come to church prepared. Because the wind might blow in and you, everybody else is going, and you're going, what are they all shaking for? You can't feel the wind because you got too much sin. Sin will callous your skin to what you should be sensitive to. Amen. Sometimes spiritual people can sense God. And carnal people can just sense the lateness of the hour. And I'm not for excessiveness and just being crazy about things. But I'm telling you what, if God shows up at Crossroads Baptist Church, every friend in the building ought to be scurrying to make him feel welcome. Now I want you to look at this ever-ready recognition of Abram. He saw him. Then I want you to notice the eager response, the ever-ready recognition. He saw him, the eager response. He ran to meet them. What's it mean to be the friend of God? You spot him when he shows up, and you run to meet him. Somebody say amen. God's here. Well, I'm going where he is. Amen. God is moving. If God is moving, I want to move with him. He ran to meet him. He ran from the tent door to meet him. I'm talking about, what does it mean to be friends with God? An individual appearance. I thank God that my friend Jesus, and by the way, you heard me talk before about this Christophanies, this pre-incarnate revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and we spoke about that earlier in Genesis, and here we're going to find several times in the passage, verse number 1, and the Lord, look at your King James Bible, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's Jehovah. When you see that word Lord there, it's not just talking about master. It is written there and notated there in the King James to distinguish not just the use of someone that is in charge, but it is there to distinguish the actual appearance of God himself. The Lord. His ever-ready recognition, he spotted him. His eager response, he ran to him. His expressed reverence, he bowed to him. Are you following the message? See, when you and God are friends, you can know when he's coming. You can spot him. And when you spot him, you run to him. And when you get to him, you bow down. That's how you can tell the people in a church who are friends with God. They show reverence. No. Don't mistake reverence with performance. Don't mistake reverence with talent. Don't mistake reverence with skill. Don't mistake reverence with showmanship. Reverence is respect. It's awe. And listen to me. There's never a time when reverence occurred in Scripture when there wasn't a noticeable change in the one who was reverencing. Whether they bowed down, whether they fell on their face, whether they cried, there was always a change, a change. Here's what I'm saying. When your friend Jesus shows up, when we believe in Old Testament, when you see the word the angel of the Lord, and an angel appearing as the Lord in Scripture, we believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ coming in the Old Testament before he was born in the New Testament. You look up that term, Christophanies or Theophanies. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the time in the Old Testament, as the angel of the Lord. You're going to find later in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob's going to wrestle with God, all right? We heard earlier that Abraham said, I don't need the king of Sodom because I got the king of Salem, Melchizedek, a pre-incarnate Old Testament expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get deep. I'm just trying to tell you that Jesus was showing up way before he was born in a manger. And he's still showing up today. And by the way, on that day, he showed up and he looked like an ordinary man. But we already find out that the Lord appeared, and we know that he called him Lord, so we know very clearly that two of them were angels, but one of them made the other two. Boy, there's so many messages here. I'm simply saying, sometimes you got to quit looking for Jesus in the earthquake and in the fire and start looking for him in the still small voice. Stop looking for him in a big check. Amen. And a clean bill of health. And something big, wow, that makes you go, that had to be God. Sometimes it's just in the ordinary that he's going, hey, yeah, that's me. On that day where nothing big happened, yeah, I was there. On that service where your favorite song wasn't sung, I was there. When you were reading in your Bible in the book of Numbers and Leviticus on genealogies, you may not have thought you knew what you were reading and thought you got out a lot about what you read, but I was there. I was there, and you didn't see me, not because I wasn't there. You didn't see me because we're not good friends. You a good singer, but that don't make you a good friend. You're a good giver. Well, that'll make you a good friend. You're a good teacher. That'll make you a good friend. So there's an instinctive accommodation. There was no hesitation in Abraham to receive them. Has anybody ever showed up and you went, not today. Not now. Oh. We were just leaving. Oh, I wish we could go out with you. But we have other plans. Who said Abraham didn't? He was in the heat of the day, chilling. That's an oxymoron. How do you chill in the heat? But that's all right. We'll just go figure that one. But yet Jesus showed up. There was an ever-ready recognition. He saw him. There was an eager response. He ran to him. There was an expressed reverence. He bowed before him, but there was an earnest request. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. How do I know God and I are friends? How do I know I'm friends with Jesus? I'll tell you how. When he shows up, you don't want him to leave. Lord, if I found favor in your sight, I don't know how long you plan to stay. I don't know if you were just passing through. I don't know if you plan to be here for a while. But now that you're here and now that I've spotted you, please, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Whew. I don't know about you, when I can sense God at crossroads, when I can sense God in the service, you know what I'm asking him? Stay, please. Stay, please. Listen to me. I'm just going to be honest. I've been in services where I could sense him in a song and felt like he left by the time I was reading my text. Because some friends are more eager about music than they are about preaching. Maybe when he came here in the song, he passed through, but while he was passing through, he saw a few hearts he wasn't comfortable with. I'll go on down the road to another church or another pew. Could God be moving on your pew and skip the next one? Yeah. May not be any friends on the next one. Lord, if I found favor, don't pass by. Listen to me. I don't know about you. I've been on my knees. I've been in my Bible reading. I mean, I get up in the morning, I'm reading in Song of Solomon right now. And I read three chapters there. And then I'm over in 1 Corinthians, three chapters there. And I'm one proverb and five psalms. So I'm in the old and I'm in the new every day. And I'm reading psalms and proverbs every day. And sometimes you're just reading and you sense some sense of routinistic practices about yourself. I mean, you got through the three in the old, the three in the new, the one proverb, and the five psalms. Close the Bible. I read for the day. Hey, but there are times when you're in the middle of reading and it's almost like Jesus walks in the room. Servants, when he shows up, beg him to stay. Don't leave, please. Don't pass by your servant. Then I want you to look at the endearing reception, and this is where we'll close. I pray you, verse 4, let a little water be, let some water be fetched, and then you can wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Now, don't forget this now. Don't forget this. Don't miss this. Verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. Wait a minute. It's not done. Therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. They obliged his invitation. Jesus loves hanging out with servants. Amen. He doesn't much care for hanging out with selfish people. Abraham hastened to the tent. Sarah, we got company, honey. Okay. Well, get three measures of milk. Get.
Well, Abraham, I wasn't planning to cook right now. I'm sewing something. I'm watching MeTV, Fixer Upper.
No, honey. Put that down. Turn it off. Get off of Instagram, Facebook. We got visitors. Jesus showed up at the house, honey. Need some bread. Make cakes as fast as you can. He ran out to the herd. He grabbed him an animal, a tender calf, good. Gave it to a young man. Said, hurry up. Fix it. He took butter. He took milk. He took the calf that he addressed. He set it before them, stood by the tree. And hey, everybody, Jesus is here. Change your plans. Now write these three things down and I'll close about this endearing reception. Number one, servant mode. Number two, speedy manner. And number three, sacrificial measure. Let me give them to you again, and I want to talk about them for about 5 minutes. Servant mode, speedy manner, sacrificial measure. Pastor, what are you saying? I don't have time to go back to Genesis 14 when his nephew Lot was taken and Abraham armed the servants in his house and took them to go get Lot back. According to 14, he had 300. I said he had 300 servants. Why didn't he assign one of them to fix food? I mean, he already had plans for the day. Don't you think he could have just said, excuse me, guys, fix the meal, do what you need to do, take good care of them. No. When Jesus comes in town, you don't assign somebody to take care of him, servant. You take care of him yourself. And then speedy manner. Be careful. Let's not miss these things that we overlook in Scripture. He bowed down. He ran to them. He rushed in the house and told Sarah, hurry up and fix food. He rushed to and got the calf himself, gave it to a young man and said, fix it. He rushed back with butter and milk and calf and served them himself. Wait a minute, excuse me, before you get happy about what I already said, let me add this to you. He was 99. But it doesn't matter how old you are when your friend shows up. And sometimes we're so busy, so preoccupied. Jesus comes in the service, but the game's on. Jesus comes in the service, but I didn't feel like singing it again. Jesus comes in the service, but I had a long night last night. He was 99. He's already gotten circumcised for his friend when he was 99. When you've gone that far, falling on your knees when you're 99 and running through to get your wife to fix food and picking up a calf. The Bible never says he got a servant to pick it up. He picked out a calf. Well, Abraham, why don't you send a servant to do it? Because the servant's not friends with Jesus like I am. He might not pick a tender calf. See, sometimes you can't delegate things to people. Because they're not in tune enough with who you're doing it for to make sure it's done. Somebody help me preach. Make sure it's done right. Amen. Sometimes you say, servants, I'll take this one. And then sacrificial measure. He got the best stuff. Now I'm closing. You ever been too busy for your friend Jesus? Too tired? Too tired for an hour blitz? Too tired to pray a little bit longer? Too tired to take somebody home? Too tired to sing your hardest? I've seen some people sleep through church and get out of church and stay out there for 45 minutes with more energy than the bunny that's on the Energizer. And you find out it's not that they didn't have energy, it's that they were saving the energy they could have used for Jesus so they could use it for themselves. Somebody ought to at least grunt. Thank you. Was that a grunt? And we've all been there. We've expended, listen, we put out fine china for others and treated Jesus like he was nothing. So what does it mean to be friends with Jesus? He comes to see you. And when he comes to see you, you see him. And when you see him, whatever was on the agenda for the day changes. It starts with running. Amen. It continues with reverencing. It continues with requesting. And it continues with receiving. He keeps coming to see us. My question tonight, friends, why is it that he keeps coming but getting such a sorry reception? Our Father, we'd love to poke our chest out. I am the friend of God. I am the friend of God. I am the friend of God. He called me friend. Wait a minute. Be careful. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us not to get so hung up on titles that we're not living up in function. In Jesus' name.